Hello and welcome to the 20th episode of this season's Manx 45. I'm your host, Sam Turton, and joining me this week, a man who's been described as the beating heart of Manx football journalism, Dave Norton.
First time I've ever been described as that, but thanks, mate.
Beating heart's good, you know.
It's good to know the ticket's still going.
Exactly. Yeah. And a man who spent a significant amount of time in the NSC car park this morning wearing just a towel. The mouth of around Tom Curfey.
I can't explain that for everyone, though.
I think you probably should.
Okay. Well, the fire alarm went off, and I was in a hotel. That's all.
Any context? You've been to play squash?
I've been to play squash. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Need some context. Yeah, I don't just sit around the NFL
and go down. Yeah,
that's a bit weird. No, I was playing squash, and
this is like the second time this week you've been down there earlier the week.
Yeah, early mornings. It's the good idea to get fit, keep fit ish, and I feel like if I do it before, you know, you get up for work and you don't want to get up. But if you're getting up to have a kickabout or play some squash, it's worth it. And then you forget about work and you remember you've got to sit next to Sam Turton all day. So,
is this the start of your late season push to get Combi Player of the Year or something?
Well, I think that's already in the bag, Dave.
Is it? All right, okay. Of course.
I did nothing to add to that, to be honest. Sadly, there is no Andy this week. He's off fly fishing in Zimbabwe with Phil Jagielka. Are we allowed to say how old he is?
I think he's
one of them. Yeah, he looks older than 39, but younger than 41, I think. That covers it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if he was in the Championship, you'd say he was a veteran at this point. Yeah. Exactly. Veteran, really.
Ooh. But as a goalkeeper, you can play longer, can't you?
Goalkeepers peak later.
They do, so.
He's still waiting for his debut.
He is, yeah. But, yes, so Andy is, of course, 40 this week, so happy birthday, Andy. We've got a nice picture of a cake, which we'll put up there somewhere. But also joining us this week, we've got Mike Knight, Bailey Ashton and Fraser Campbell.
Hello.
How's it doing, lads?
Good afternoon, yeah. Good, thanks. Cheers.
Great. Well, we've got a bit of a weird week because, like I said, without Andy's guidance, we've... All fallen apart, yeah. So, we're actually going to start by looking back on your most recent result.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about.
I'm just getting over that.
Yeah, what happened?
It's hard to explain, really. It's just, I think the last 3 or 4 weeks we've just kind of fell apart a little bit and lost our way, to be honest. We've had a lot of players come in and out of the team just with people missing and injuries, and sadly, it's just what happens to some teams.
Is the target, I assume at the start of the season, it was to go up?
Yeah.
Is it still to go up now?
I think the target we're probably looking at now is try to just make sure we're getting that top four somewhere for the cup at the end of the season, to be honest.
Mm. But you're playing a tough Oncon side, in fairness. They're a good team, aren't they, would you say?
It was a tough game. It's a young side, obviously, so it's very hard to play against someone like that. But it was one of those things where I think it's the first season together pretty much for the whole first team. I mean, I've never played with Fraser or Liam. I think it's going to take us a while to gel, but once we gel, I think we've got some team there, but it's just not there at the moment.
Mm. You went into it off the back of a tough game against Ramsey, didn't you?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, those are the sort of games where you want to gauge your progress. But did you feel like it knocked your confidence a little bit, or was it a decent enough battle for you?
I think it was a good battle. Like, I don't think the score does the Ramsey game justice. I think, you know, we didn't create much, and we should have created more. We just didn't play the way we can play. They played a lot of long ball, which I was surprised at, and we kind of resorted to trying the same.
Right.
And as soon as we do that, it just kind of fell apart for us. But I don't think the scoreline justifies how actually close a game it could have and should have been, to be honest.
Well, even putting aside those last two results, it's been a great season, hasn't it? Yeah. I mean, everything's going in the right direction, isn't it? I mean, if you look at where the club's been in the last few years, towards the bottom end of the table, now for the second season in a row, you're going to be pushing for promotion. So that's, you know, it's great progress, isn't
it? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's good to see Michael up there again, because I played, when I was at Mills last season, or the season before, I played Michael, and I went down there and I was like, wow, this is... this is like the lowest of lowest you can get, and no disrespect to Michael, but like, and now it's you know, it's good to see a team like Michael up there and doing well.
And do you think that's, I remember speaking to Michael Cole, he's a massive part of that, I feel like. I remember going down there just for a kickabout, because Michael United is one of the only pitches on the island in the summer that leave their goals out, and I absolutely love that. You know, like, there's not many places around, put them away, everyone puts them away. Michael, you can go for a kickabout and the goals are there. And I went down there, we were all with my mates, and I remember Michael Cole coming over to us and just saying, like, we're still looking for players. This must have been about a few seasons ago now. And he's constantly pushing to get players in, and that was when they were really struggling. So this success for him must be like, it must be, obviously it's his doing, but it's also like, must be so nice to see for him. He's obviously a Michael man through and through.
100%. Yeah, it's like a breath. I think it's like fresh air for him. He's like, oh, finally. And you know, he's putting so much into the club as well, like off the pitch and everything. You can see it, and you can see even on the changing room on Saturday, just there's a lot of passion in him for it. And it's good to see now that Michael are up there and he's really happy with it.
Yeah, sometimes I can imagine you get weighed down with these results, like losing and stuff, but you've actually got to realise where you've come from to where you are probably, and think maybe you're actually doing not that badly considering where you were.
Well, success breeds success as well, doesn't it? You know, other players now will be thinking, well, Michael are really on the up here, you know, we should join this revolution sort of thing.
So that's what I mean.
That's what I did, yeah.
So I mean, I try and remind them all, because I've been there since I moved to Ireland in 2010, and I've been through it all. I've been promoted, winning the league in 2012 or 13, to getting relegated again, to then not having only having one team, you know. And me and Rob Farragher had to take them over a few years ago because they were so close to folding, and we basically run the team with 13 players or something, and it was an absolute nightmare. So it's tough when we lose the games that we're losing to like Zonker and that, but like, I try and remind the lads, like, this is actually a good team we've got, and considering where we were, it's going to take time. I mean, we look at the team last year that we had, we brought in likes of Bailey and that this year. Last year we probably had a worse quality team. This year we've got a better quality. We just haven't gelled yet together, and we just haven't adapted to that. And I think once it clicks, it'll be noticeable.
It does take time, doesn't it? I mean, it's a tough league, you know, Division 2, it really is.
Just ask Foxdale how hard it is to get out of. Like, honestly, they've been trying for years. It is difficult, though, isn't it? Like, and did it go down to the last day last year that you could have gone up?
It was a point.
Few games. I think we played Braddon 3 games before the end of the season, and we were 2-0 up, and we just had to get a result, and we were probably guaranteed second, and we collapsed the last 15 minutes and conceded 4 goals. We had a few players went off injured, and it was another game. Luck just didn't go our way. Exactly. And then so then we had to rely on Youthy to take something from them the following week, and Youthy again were 2-0 up, I think, at half time, and then Braddon scored 2 quick goals beginning the second half, and then beat them, I think it was 5-2. So
it's almost like they're just getting your hopes up.
So it was close last season. We were so close.
Is that sort of spurred you on this season? Like, as soon as pre-season started last summer, were you all like sort of itching to go again? Sort of, was it the added motivation or?
Well, I kind of basically told everybody I was retiring. I'm nearly 40 now as well, so I was like, you know, I've been through it all. I seen that there was some good young players at the team. They'd brought in so many players that even the Combi had too many players. So for me, it felt like it was a good time to say, right, I'm done, but I still want to be involved with the club. So I was going to try and get a Masters team up and run, but we've seen how hard that is in the Isle of Man. And then basically got asked to come back, and I couldn't help myself.
And this is the man now that wears number 7 at fullback. Retiring at the start of the season, now wearing number 7 at fullback.
That's the problem amongst football. The amount of times you see a centre-back wearing number 9, it's horrible, isn't it?
You do get I'm not saying this is you, but you do get the thing amongst football where teams sort of do this thing where they buy shirts in different sizes. And then you'll end up with like our two centre backs wearing 16 and 17. Why? Because they're the two XL shirts.
That's how it works.
And it's always makes you wonder how they've managed that, like, throughout, because you always, like, you know, you see old kits. And you just see it where just like some player just has a really baggy shirt. Don't really see it anymore.
No, and honestly, if you're late to a game, if you're late to a game, there's a medium or a large there. It's a nightmare, absolute nightmare. Like, a big belly on me, I don't want to. And there always seems to be a photographer when I'm in a tight shirt. I'm telling you now, rushing photographer down there. It's like, don't post them photos, mate.
We have got some decent pictures of Tom with a little bit of a belly on him, haven't we?
Yeah, it seems to be only in football that it's really noticeable. Obviously, it's not great. Honestly, the Crosby aren't helping with that. But football shirts seem to not do me justice. This comes back to, I don't think any of the Moran players look good in the pictures.
You can stop there.
as I might actually stop him there. but no, it makes me, it confuses me how like professional footballers all look so, like do they ever look like they're sweating?
It's probably because they've got like a far lower body fat.
No, but it's not about, I'm not talking about alcohol content as well.
I'm not saying the round players look big. I'm saying like all the facial expressions, everything. We just always look like we're not like it just looks terrible.
Yeah, but Dave has got a point. Most that it's not the same as it was, but there's a good number of lads on a Saturday afternoon are sweating off the night before.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Who's the worst of Michael? And who's basically Michael's version of Tom Curfee that always turns up hungover, rotten the next day?
That's not true. We've got Peel. I'm not going out for it. Oh, I am going out for it. that's Rebecca's leaving.
I don't know. You know.
Believe it or not, I genuinely. I think a lot of the lads at Michael leave it for Saturday.
Yeah, this season I think it's not been too bad. Last season I'd probably say our goalkeeper Jordan Grout. He liked to turn up a little bit worse for wear most weekends.
It's always good to have a keeper behind you.
In all fairness, Sam Greasy likes to pot about on a Friday night.
He's mellowed a little bit though.
He has mellowed a bit, he's the type to go out on his own for a Guinness on a Friday night. Yeah. Probably,
yeah. In the mitre or what?
He begs me to go to the Queen's, which I don't mind the Queen's, it's chilled out in there, but last time we went out on a Friday, we ended up in Jack's till like 1:30, so.
1:30's reasonable.
Well, it is, but when you got 40 the next day, it's not.
It does hurt, yeah. So, about the pubs though, does Michael United still, would you class your pub as the Mitre? I know you've got your pub house, do you ever really go to the Mitre?
No, not anymore. I think the last time that we'd have classified the Mitre as our local would have been the year we won the league when Barney Kelly was manager. We were up there.
Yeah, that was.
I think it was 2012. I think 2012 season. Mm. We used to go up there all the time, but then after we got promoted and a few of the, because we had all the local players, we had the likes of Paul Corlett, Quinny Perksy, Dave Reynolds. Oh, there was loads of kind of local players, so we all used to go up to the pub, but that kind of milled down when they all decided to stop playing football and we started having to get like Douglas players in and from further afield, and then it just kind of stopped. So I'd say the clubhouse is
the clubhouse is the main place. You go in there after a game, all the locals are in there waiting for the Mitre to open.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, they get their Saturday at 40.
Cheap beer,
banned
well, isn't it,
from
yeah?
the Mitre, yeah. Probably.
That's probably one of the reasons. Yeah.
Cheap beer. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have a big pumps though, do they? It's all cans.
Which.
Well, just think that, because considering your catchment area, you sort of miss out on the merry-go-round that is Northern Manx football.
Because
it's sort of like, you know, Ramsey and the two Ramsey clubs seem to mix amongst themselves, and then you got. I know Moran have taken a few lads have gone off the Peel. Peel send a few slightly worse players back down the other way. but it sounds like Foxdale quite separate in this, and that you don't seem to be part of that massive merry-go-round.
No, the players that are coming in, yeah, I agree.
So, just do you reckon that is something that you are seeing more lads coming in through from Douglas? Because it's just. I always hate, not be funny, I hate playing away at Michael, because it's always like, this feels like a drive. I just can't imagine doing it every week.
I think one of the things for the Douglas, how it all getting the players in from Douglas started was, when I was manager, we signed Gary Price, who's now our first team manager, and he doesn't really get a lot of credit for what he's done, because once I signed him, he decided to stay at the club, and then the year after he took over the Combi and he brought in a few players. His brother moved over from the UK, he's a really good goalkeeper, so he played Combi the first year, and then he moved these players up to the first team when he took over. But then through his brother and a few other people I knew who had friends, so like Sam Noan Bailey and that, we started getting more people coming through. So I think a lot of credit goes to Gary for that as well. You know, Beef deserves an enormous amount of credit. His training's brilliant, you know, and his love for the club's obviously there. But Gary definitely helped change the club for what it needed, because the older players like myself and the locals and Quinny was still playing up to a few years ago, and you know, we couldn't cut it. Like you can't have a team of that age now, really. You've seen it with old boys like last season or whatever, and it just doesn't work anymore. So it's quite good that that's happening. You know, you want to keep it local, but at the same time, there's a time you realise, actually, we have to expand out.
Yes. Well, I mean, you did. I mean, one pre-season you ended up getting was at Pecker and Cal Morrissey, didn't you?
Yeah, so that was when Nick was manager. So he brought in. Callum only played one game, to be fair. He played against Brad and wasn't happy, and then just, I don't know what happened, just never came back. But fair play to Pecker, he stuck at it, and no matter how much we struggled, you know, we brought in three or four, but everybody else was still the same core of the team, so we still didn't have that quality, and it was a shame to week on week watch Pecker up front and think you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. But fair play to Pecker, he stuck out the whole season. He still likes posts about Michael United, even though he was only there for 1 year.
Yeah.
It was good that he'd done that and didn't just run, you know, the first chance. But yeah, we thought that was going to be the season that we kind of turned it around, and it just...
Where did you finish the season? Because it wasn't great.
I think we're down near the bottom. I think we've done quite well in the cup though, because we lost in penalties to, it was one of the Premier League teams, and they were like mid-table. And I remember because I missed one of the penalties, and I was devastated. But we weren't bad when we were on our day, but it was just getting these players. We had Johnny Holland, you know, he was so unreliable. He was there 1 week and he couldn't make it. He was injured for a month after that, and it wasn't as what it should have been.
One player I want to touch on before we get on to fixtures is Liam Kane. This guy, we sit down here every Thursday, and then it'll be like, right, we'll run through the goal scorers or whatever, and it'll be Liam Kane scored 9 or something like that. It'll just be ridiculous. So what's he like, not only as a player, but what's he like, what is it, just goals for him? Is it just...
Yeah, he's... Do you know what? He's probably one of the most humble people I've ever met.
Really?
Like, he's obviously the captain at the moment, but he's a captain that leads by example, not vocally, and he'll turn up every week, he'll do what he has to do, score his goals, and he just goes home, and that's it. And it's just like, there's nothing special to it or anything. He just turns up every week and he flies through games.
Has he always been at Michael, or is he...
No. I'm not sure if he played before he signed with us.
He was playing for juniors, he was playing for Lexi up until senior football, where he stopped because he just wasn't liking the step up.
Okay.
I think he took a fair few years out. I might be wrong on that.
I think he did, yeah.
And then he's come back.
Yeah.
And he's come back.
I'm old enough for the Masters, mate. You got the scoring charts there, have you?
I was just looking at this, right? 17 games, 43 goals.
That is absolutely bonkers. In that division, I know there's like certain games where you do...
But none of these are listed as penalties either.
I don't think he's even scored in the last few games either. Yeah. So
that, he scored 2 penalties, I believe. There's 2 he scored.
Is he always penalty taker?
Well, yeah.
We very rarely get penalties. Yeah,
we rarely get penalties.
We never get anything.
You know, if you're going to have a penalty, it's not like we're going to let him take one for easily.
I was thinking about who the penalty taker was, because I think the attacking talent is obviously quite a lot. I can imagine all of them. I can imagine Sam Greasley demanding a penalty.
He'd be last option. He wouldn't be taking a penalty. But yeah, Liam, obviously, because
captain, and
he just knows where the goal is. Yeah. Like, doesn't matter, you have to put him on them. He just knows what it is.
Yeah, it was a goal against Govs where the ball got played over the top to him and he didn't take any touch, he didn't even look at the goal, and just fired at bottom corner. We all just stood there, like, and he just walks off like it's nothing. He's just like the most humble person you'll ever meet.
So you're looking at those numbers, they're like similar to, say, Jay Chatwood or someone.
Who's
like
second behind Liam?
Dylan Parrish with 10.
Oh my god. So I reckon we'd safely say he's got silver boot, unless... Well, how many's Chatwood got?
He's not been in
sabbatical for the
season. Like when he was winning the silver boot,
and get a bit of a slow start when he came back as well.
But then Fox still flying as well, aren't they? Yeah. Have you played them?
Yeah, we have. Played them twice. I think first game, we should have beat them. We should have beat them. They won, didn't they? Yeah.
First game was a difficult one. It was the start of the season. It was all a bit of... It just felt like a blur now. But the second game was frustrating.
Oh no, maybe it was the second game. The second game was frustrating. It was, beat them. I think Twan actually came over and he actually says like that was literally the best performance I had against the whole second half. We literally just had them pinned back. I think Jay Chatwood went off after about 65 minutes, he just wasn't fit enough, and we just had them pinned back. We just couldn't do anything. But they've got a really good defence. They have, you know, they've got like so Scott Cumming, Jack Smith, and then they've got Bez in the middle there as well, back now, and you know, they're solid players.
Not a bad keeper as well, Bowler as well.
Good keeper, but they're solid. They just know how to keep that structure and defence, and that they're a hard team to break down.
It's like you see quite a lot of people go, oh, they're a long ball team. They're not if you watch them. Like, they actually do go through the midfield quite a bit, but also, like I say, in that structure in their defence, it's like when you played them, it was kind of very similar teams in a way.
Yeah.
Like, because they're obviously quite happy to go wide as well. They've got Jay Charm.
Yeah.
Charm has been quality this season.
Yeah, it's been good.
Honestly, I know him well, and I don't know where it's come from. Playing at school, I was like, nah, nothing really about Jason Charm. Now you watch him.
He doesn't listen to this.
Not many do.
To be honest, 50% of our viewers each week is just people finding out what he said about
them. That is actually quite true. Yeah.
Who else has impressed you in the league this year? I mean, for you guys, obviously, like any standout players in your team, but also like across the division, anyone else that's sort of stood out?
I can't really have much say in this because I've not played for half
the
season.
You were injured at the start of the season, weren't you?
I think
one player that always stands out for me, and I was actually playing them on Saturday, I don't know if he's available, is Alex Crawley. Every time I play against him, like, you would look at him, you think he doesn't look like much of a footballer.
He's a great player.
But to play against him, especially being a defender, once I'm marking him, you know, you always feel like you're in a good battle with him. Like, he just knows what to do. Mm-hmm. And I'd say he's probably one of the kind of, he's consistent, stands out every single season.
Well, I'd say he's been doing it for so long now, yeah, at that level, hasn't he?
And he's actually still quite young, and he's not as old as what he looks. He always bangs on about like finishing and retiring when I'm playing against him, and I'm like, you're not like 31.
I'm not sure we're allowed to say this, but I thought, I'm editing it, so who cares. He is the best shithouse in Mansfield.
Yeah.
He winds himself up, his own team up, the referee up, he winds Jed up in the tower. Everybody is getting wound up by him, and then he'll just score a hat-trick. He'd be there going, alright, yeah, fair enough.
I love that though, because I feel like every club has to have one. They have to have a guy that's like, just, he's all right at football. I know Alex Crawley's not a bad example because he's quality, but like, I love the ones that are a bit shit and then they're still like,
who's the one at Moran then, Tom?
I don't know. Probably a bit close to home.
You're all too nice.
That could be one of our biggest issues.
The worrying thing about going to Castletown going to us on Saturday is that they do well at winding teams up, and I think Saturday this is like a really big game, I think, Michael Castletown, and I think they're going to make the occasion out of it of trying to wind us up as much as possible.
You're giving them a good, they might be watching going, Sam, I'll wind you up then.
That's all right, they can. But that's what the type of game we think it's going to be on Saturday, is it's going to be try and make Michael lose their heads. And
so it's obviously at your place. Do you think it's a big, do you think a home advantage plays a part at all, do you think, whether it's
down at Michael? I think definitely, like, the pitch in these conditions, it plays a big advantage to us. But in the start of the season, when it's a bit harder, you know, you find it a bit tougher because teams can play that pitch quite well, but in conditions like this, I think we usually put the pressure on teams a lot more. But I mean, a team of that quality, Castletown, they're a good team at the end of the day. They're going to know how we play. We had some good battles with them last year. You know, they know exactly how we play, so they'll be there for the fight.
But I mean, you know, looking at it, without ruling you out completely, it does seem to be a little bit unlikely that you'll get it up this season. But you know, you've got to play Castletown. You can have a big say on how this is going, because it's looking like one of them plus Onken.
Yeah.
Or both of them, but you know, it does look like it seems to be going that way. If one of them plus on Concess on to, they've got these games in hand, they're reeling it in a little bit. Who do you reckon will go?
I think Foxdale Onken.
Foxdale will do it this year.
I think Foxdale and Onken.
Foxdale will do it.
And how do you think the teams that go up will fare in Division 1? Because I remember Andy last week was big on, he thinks there's a gulf between the bottom of Div 1 and the top of Div 2. Do you agree with that?
I don't fully agree with it.
No.
I don't fully agree with it, because at the end of the day, it's Manx 40. Yeah. It's like any team could go to Michael, could go anywhere and lose a game. That's how it works. Anything can happen. But I think Foxdale especially, I think they'll do very well in Div 1.
Yeah, I think they will.
See, I'm sceptical about that, because I think, as you say, anyone can go anywhere and get a result. But over the course of a season, it's about consistency. And I think a team like, I think there are some clubs in Division 2, and this is no disrespect, because I think it's a tough league, whichever league you're in, and you'll have teams to play. But I think it's about, especially from a morale perspective, getting absolutely thumped or getting beat 1 week. And that can happen 4 weeks on the trot and Div 1. And then it's about when you've got a game that you can win. For example, like, say, Morana got Mills or someone, a game where we think we can win. Yeah. It's about building yourself up to that when you've just not scored a goal in 4 games, you've conceded how many, you've played rubbish. So.
Well, this is the thing with Foxdale. I think like, we've got Jay Chatwood and Charmer and that. I think that's those two alone is plenty to go into Div 1 with. And the structure that Foxtel play with is, I think, is good enough for Div 1 completely. Yeah. I think they're a team that can grind out results as well. I think they'll just grind out results, but they'll stay up, I think. And I think Onken have the possibility to as well, because they're a young squad, and they just run and they run and they run and they're creative. And
I think with Foxtel, though, what you got to remember as well, they've got players in that team that have played in the Premier League. So, and you've obviously got Twana as probably one of the best player defenders slash midfielders I've played with when he was at Michael. But you've got like Kev Pullman, who's played in the Premier League. You've got Chatwood, who's played there. You've got Bez, who's played there. Obviously Twana running them. So I think they get a couple of players in. You get a couple of players in there, like with the way they've been playing, I could see them beating like the bottom. No offence, Moran. I could see them beating teams like Moran and things like that. You know, next season.
It's all going so well.
I just want to, you know, I know we look at the structure of Manx Footy is up in the air a little bit at the minute, but if you look at this, Div 2 has got basically a top six and a bottom sort of six. There's old boys are in a bit of like weird positions, and like that 5-game loser streak at the start, and then they've been winning. They knocked Geordies out of the cup the other week. Do you reckon that is something where Div 2 is sort of almost like, I know Andy's saying like there's this gap between Div 2 and Premier League, but there's also a gap in Div 2.
Where there's definitely
a line drawn of, you know, you wouldn't, either you'd be more likely, like you're saying, more likely to see you, Castletown, Foxtel or yourselves beat Moran, sorry Tom, than you are to see like Poros or Jims or Govs beat Foxtel.
So you think there's a bigger gulf? Possibly a bigger gulf in the bottom division to Div 2 teams to the top division 2 teams than there is from the bottom division 1 to the top division 1.
You can see
both arguments, can't you?
Yeah,
definitely.
But I don't think the bottom of division 2 is as bad as what it has been previous years. Like when we had the likes of us when we were really struggling, then Govs, who weren't winning a single game for the season, maybe D&D down there, maybe Malou when they were really struggling. But this year, likes of Govs and D&D, they seem to be able to be grinding out results, and they seem to be a lot closer to each other than what previous years. Like, you'd have Michael and Govs at the bottom, 10, 12, 14 points below everybody. Whereas now it's quite close between the bottom three or four, I think.
I played in the year where it was like we finished, I think, about a point or two behind you, but the one win we had away all season was away at Michael.
Right,
and it's like Govs for you.
Well, wasn't Govs' first ever win?
I think it was.
It was established in 2014. I swear, they didn't win a game for it. It was over years. It was like, they struggled very early.
Govs are another team. Like, we went to them in the cup in January and took us to extra time. I mean, again, it's one of those things. It's Manx Footy. You could turn up anywhere.
I think to be fair, they are clicking in more than they have done in previous years. Yeah. I think, like, all fair dudes call them. Like, he's brought in lads who coaching and playing who are hopefully starting to make something there.
Yeah. How much easier do you think it is for a club like Governors, a Douglas club, to attract players than it is, for example, the likes of Kent Michael, the likes of Moran, the likes of Foxdale? How much easier do you reckon it is?
Well, I think it's far easier for them. I mean, are Govs playing in Douglas now, are they?
Since four weeks ago.
I think it is it's a lot, it's definitely, there's no debate, it's a lot easier than a team like us try to bring people in. We're still relying on mates of mates that are already there. I'd say it is a lot easier.
Especially Nobles Park as well. Yeah. Like, I mean, at Manx Foot, at the end of the day, it's playing with your mates, isn't it? And having a laugh. So to be able to, I mean, half of them now is literally, 30-second drive away from the pitch.
But then at the same time, there's that many teams in Douglas that, there's going to be teams that have got less quality players there, players that are not going to get games for the likes of Braddon and Geordies and teams like that. So it can kind of go both ways.
Well, I was just thinking that if you look at it, we're saying that the amount of teams, Douglas teams can get players, the bottom four teams in Div 2 are all Douglas teams. Finally, before we move on though, we do have a question from Adam, who is busy working because, whatever the hell this is, what we're doing. who asked, who's the hardest team you've played in Div 2 and why is it Colby?
Did he mean this season?
I think he did, it's a bit unfortunate, but I think he did mean this.
But let's broaden out to the whole time. You've been in Michael for a long time. Who's the best team you've come up against in your whole time at Michael?
Best team?
Because you said you've been in Division 1 as well. Is there a team that just stood out and you were like,
there's been a few. I think the last time Ayr got promoted, I think they had is it like said Declan Cummins and I think Sean Kelly might have been there. I think they were quite strong last time they got promoted from Div 2, and I think it was the year after Youthy were quite strong the year after as well, when like said Nick Hart and all that went back to them, and I think there's a few of the players at Ayr as well now, so I'd say probably them. It's hard to judge because we've been so up and down as a team that if we had the team that we've got now maybe playing against them, it would have been a total different scenario. I might not be picking them. But, yeah, I'd say probably Ayr would be the team that stick out. I think that was about five seasons ago, maybe.
And they're still doing it now, aren't they?
Yeah, they've just, since they've got promoted, they've just got better and better.
And that's
better.
Like, I think what I remember being at Moran end of season do, and I think you look at the ideology of some of them clubs. Like, say if you're in Division 2, and you get promoted, or you're in there, like Michael are now, in the running for it. If you look at teams like Ayr who've done it, Corinthians even come up years ago, and like teams like that, you look at how they've done it and build their club up, and eventually you want to be an established Division 1 team. Like, but then pushing on and on. I think Moran probably have done that, but not pushed on as much as we wanted to do. But like, I think that's the plan, isn't it?
But I mean, I was thinking Corinthians, like all teams that after I've left, they've got significantly better. You know,
you played for Corinthians?
I was at Corinthians when we were in the park.
I never knew that.
When we were in Nobles Park, when the trees would overhang the pitch.
They still do, don't they?
Yeah. Whip it a corner and it hits the branches, doesn't it?
That's not why I can't play there anymore.
Well, that famous video of Braddon. Who was that?
That was against Mills, wasn't it?
It could have been.
Where the ball went out and the tree kept. It went out and it came back in.
But then what do you do as a referee in that situation? All these players running at you saying it's hit the branch. I actually feel for the referee. It's not often I do. But it's like, what do you give?
It's not something you're looking at, is it?
No.
It's the problem, you know, you sort of like, what's going on in the box?
But then I wouldn't even know the rule if it does happen. Is it like to retake the corner? Is it a goal kick? Is it what?
You think it would
drop
just be
ball, anything, to retake the corner,
But then what if it happens again? Because it's clearly in the way. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's difficult.
Well, that's a Manx football thing. That's a great
And when it happens, people kick off and stuff, but it is brilliant. You want these moments, don't you? Like these videos on Twitter.
Yeah.
So what's the most bizarre thing that's happened to you guys then when you've been playing a game? Is there anything like that that comes close?
Just dogs running on the pitch.
That's a classic.
We had a few Mills last season, a few dogs on the pitch, and you just, and these are like big games as well. Obviously Mills last season, we're going for Railway Cup, and a dog running on the pitch, and it, you know, it's either the manager's dog or someone's just stood there with a dog, and it's like, get them off the pitch. But nothing bizarre, really.
No, I can't think of anything, to be honest. Bizarre down at Michael. Everything's just bizarre. Just used to it all, yeah.
There's a duck on the pitch at FC Man game recently.
Yeah, that was in his. Didn't Rob Slinger have to try and get it off?
It's just Rob Slinger trying to get a duck off the pitch. Like,
I bet when he woke up, or even when he put his refereeing kit on, he didn't expect to be having to do that, did he?
I don't think he expected 45,000 people to watch it on Twitter. there was Ayr. Ayr was the best one for me. When the woman came onto the pitch and Don McCallum was refereeing, and it was like Ayr versus Corinthians, I think. It was quite a big game last season.
Yeah.
And it's like, this woman just appears, walks straight onto the pitch, he goes to the truck, goes, somebody has parked on my truck. And he just turns around and goes, madam. He has no idea what to say to her. And Ian Kelly just like absolutely sprints down the touch and goes, it's my
That is quality though. That's probably one of the best. Wasn't there a video of that as well?
There was a picture of that that ended up on like Footy Away Days or something.
Yeah.
Then, like,
brilliant.
Only in the other man.
Fortunately. Right, well, we will have to move on and look at this week's fixtures. Should we start
Div 2?
It's mine.
Yeah, we should probably start with Div 2, shouldn't we?
We never start with Div 2.
Yeah, but it's the big game, isn't
it?
That's
why we've got them in. It's the big game of the weekend.
Start with Europe's best division, DPS Limited Division 2.
Well done.
I know, I got it right. Jimmy Cubbins had enough free advertising. So we'll start with yourselves and Cast Town. Obviously, this is, like we said, not a game. I mean, it's not out of the possibility that you could go up, but are you looking to disrupt this? What are you thinking going into it?
You always go in to win, don't you? If we can win and disrupt them, the better. I mean, that's the aim at the end of the day. Is obviously it's a big game, so if we can put a stop to what they're doing, then that's the best thing for us on Saturday. I think obviously we're going for top four, which helps us more, but we've still got a lot of games left, so if we can just disrupt them that little bit on Saturday, make it a tough game, and I think we can just poor result.
Well, a win for you guys really does bunch it all together again, yeah. doesn't it? I mean, yeah. okay, I know you've played more games. You played more games than the other two, but you know, it would be so close then, and it puts the doubt in their minds, doesn't it? Then, it's a huge game, really.
And as you say, anything can happen. There's nothing to say that like a Fox Hill and Onca might slip up somewhere, and you guys could all of a sudden be back in with a chance to go up. So what you've probably got to do is just keep going.
And we're looking to about like from 6-0 on Saturday. That we want to bounce back. We don't. I mean, this is the third game now. We've lost twice in a row. We don't want to be losing three times.
And we've still got Onca to play again as well. So if you win that Castletown game, and then we've got Old Boys to play again. So if we win that and then beat Old Boys, you think that's you're getting top four there at least if you're beating them two. And then obviously if you go into that Onca game, you could be playing for them to stop winning the league for them.
That's what you want.
It's one of them. It can just all so easily change on one match week. That's what I feel mad about. That's why we call it the Europe's best division.
It is. That's out. How's the squad looking for this week?
Any missing?
I don't think so.
No, not sure. We've kind of been kept a little bit secret, so we don't give in. We've not really been told.
When does your squad come out? Because everyone does it differently. Like, I know it's different for FC Almaine, for example, but theirs comes out for the public.
Good
timing.
It's a Thursday night, today, usually. Yeah.
Thursday night? Yeah. I think that's early.
So we've changed because we can only train once a week. Because of where we can go, we now do like a Thursday night breakdown of the game, so we video every single game. We've got one of these machines, so basically every Thursday after a defeat we just get bollocked for the whole night. It's quite good to go through it and you can see where your mistakes are, so
do you reckon you're one of the only clubs that I know a lot of clubs video the games, but do you reckon you're one of the only clubs that actually sits back, analyses the videos and stuff, or do you know of other clubs that do that?
I've not heard of any clubs doing it, and we've only recently started doing it. We've only the last few weeks that we've, because of the results and the way it's gone, what's happening. So.
And it's actually, you can really see where you're going wrong. It's very good. So it's really actually benefits. But
this comes back to my point about where Michael were, knowing bottom of Division 2, and now they've got cameras looking at the games and stuff. It's just it's really good for you.
Amazon Prime, all or nothing documentary.
All or nothing, Michael.
Michael or nothing, surely.
Michael or nothing,
Michael or nothing, yeah.
Make it happen.
Michael.
But it's got to be behind the scenes of showing Michael Cole getting dressed.
Tom.
We're
going to move on. Who are you thinking? Where's your prediction going? Dave, Michael, or Castletown?
I'm sitting on the fence. I reckon it's going to be a draw. Score draw.
I reckon it'll be close, to be honest. I reckon it'll be quite a few goals with the way that our results have been and the way that they're good at attacking. So, but I'll go for a 5-3 win.
Nice. You've got to back yourself.
I go for a 4-2, something like that for us.
I'm going to go for a lesser spotted 5-all draw.
Wow, Max football.
And Tom, before you commit any further crimes,
I'll go 3-2, Michael. I think you'll just do it. I think, as you say, I think you'll play part, Michael.
We'll stick with the promotion. Stick with the promotion battle in Div 2, and we'll go to Foxdale Maloo.
This is where Hattie's going, I believe.
This is where Hattie's going, yeah.
The main man, so it's get the full Hattie treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah, taking a trip out to the back of the moon, which is still one of my favourite things amongst football. Maloo are looking alright, actually, to be fair, but I can't see this going any other way. Can you, Dave?
Yeah, no, I think Foxdale win. I think, Maloo have improved, but I just think, we've already talked about Foxdale's firepower and that. They'll get 3 points.
Maloo losing Ash Egan, I think, was the last draw for them, so I think Foxdale will comfortably win that one.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think it'll be 5-6-0, even. Well, we played Maloo a few weeks ago and they were not good.
Mm. It's true, because they were always even when I was playing, they were always quite a. You knew what you were getting. Didn't matter what age group you played against Maloo, they were always a physical team, but could get the ball down and play. I just can't see anything.
Thing is, they've got some good players in their team. They just don't seem to be playing together right now, and there was a lot of arguing between them. And it just, as soon as we got two or three up, they're just
heads totally went gone and it was for gone, them. Yeah.
Well, we talked about it earlier, didn't you, about when you guys got loads of players in pre-season. I know Malou did it a few years ago, and it didn't go well either, did it? They just you can get too many players in at once, can't you? And there's no sort of cohesion there. Yeah. So I think it's probably been a similar case for them, really, hasn't it? I know they've had an influx of players coming back from St Mary's and things like that.
They're in that sort of... they're also in that sort of the whirlpool that is the South.
Yeah.
Where are they in the league at the minute?
At the minute, they are 7th.
Okay.
With 4 wins out of 13.
But there's a 10-point gap to all boys, one place above them. So as Sam said before, there's a league within a league.
And it can get frustrating that, like, the likes of Malou turning up at these games, going to these games, and, like, there's kind of almost nothing to play for. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can kind of lose motivation throughout the season. I know for some clubs it's like it's a slog, isn't it? Every Saturday, getting the team out. Mm. So I can understand why it would be. But in fairness, let's be real, this game isn't on.
There's always that caveat.
I can hear the rant, there's no chance.
Yeah, I was just looking for the thing there. Their wins, I mean, they did have that 3-0 draw against Onken at the start of the season. But aside from that, their wins have come against, like, Governors. Who else have got against here?
Which Govs would have won if you were playing, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Malou, they beat Pulley, they beat D&D. So the results have come within that sort of second league, within the second league sort of thing. So
comfortable Foxdale win.
Yeah, one another. And we'll stick with the promotion, Jason. And Governors are hosting Onken. I'll just go for my usual Governors win. I haven't played for both teams, actually.
And yet it's your local parish, Onken.
Yeah.
You surely want to see them in Division 1.
I know I should care, I just don't.
Too busy spotting the Ravens.
I'd be happy with Govs going up. So I'm going to say Govs.
Yeah, are Govs in the title? I don't think they're in it.
It's a great reason.
Is it ruled out? Can they still go up, Governors?
No, I don't. How many games in this league? 24. Mathematically, they could
by one point.
Mathematically, they could go up.
Yeah. It'd be a miracle.
I'll tell you, Istanbul's got nothing.
Well, it's going to be off after this weekend when no one could put 10 past them. So.
Well,
Tom's going, okay.
10-0.
There's an if, though. If Onken can put 10 past them.
I'm going to say when.
I don't even think Onken will need to get out of second gear. I think it'll be 7 or 8 easily.
No. Agreed. But however, there's always a possibility that Govs could put in a grinding performance.
Well, you guys went for extra time with them.
Well, yeah, and it's a young player. Like, Onken are a young team, and Govs, again, just wind people. And young people, well, obviously being young myself, I'm easy to wind up. So I know. I know, like, how it feels, and it could happen, but Onken will win.
Yeah.
I've got to say the same. Yeah, I mean,
as much as Sam's going for his beloved Govs,
I'm saying Govs are going to nick it 3-2. It's going to be fantastic.
I hope they do. But
let's see it.
Where should we go? Dave North or Douglas?
Go North, go Euphy.
We'll go to Euphy, who welcomed D&D. Dave Masson and the guys going along for the trip up there. Rykob, Tom, still have not built a pitch into the pier yet.
I've been asking for a while. Well, actually, I only did it once, didn't I, on Twitter. I need to just keep reminding them that this is what I want. But no, in this game, to me, weirdly, all I can see is Rory Poole versus Dave Matson in a wrestling night match. Maybe that's just
what's
me.
What's going on in your head today, Tom? Michael like, Cole getting changed.
When I hear of Rykob, I hear Rory Poole. And when I hear of D&D, I think of Dave Matson.
Well, I know Dave Matson's. He was up late watching the Royal Rumble the other week.
So let's not rule it out.
Well, it's not completely ruled out. And Rory, I could see he'd be like a luchador style. Sort of
imagine
thing.
At the end of the season, everyone submitted one person at every club to be like
Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble.
And you're telling me if that was live stream, there wouldn't be.
I tell you something, Govs have a chance.
Govs do.
Chambo.
See,
Andre the Giant Chambo. He'd have a chance.
I'm trying to think who'd be in Maroon. Oh, it'd be funny to just send Hugo Hughes in, wouldn't it? Just see how he gets on.
Now, Rey Mysterio, like, years ago, he won the Royal Rumble. So he's about 5'2".
Exactly. So, and Hugo, he can jump.
This is what we normally do, by the way. We digress.
Right.
So anyway, Rykob versus D&D.
Yeah.
Who are you going for, Tom?
I'm going to just narrowly go Dave Matson on this one. No, I think D&D. I think it'll be close, you know. Are they near each other?
They're next to each other. Rykob have won 4, drawn 2, lost 9. D&D have won 2, drawn 4, lost 9.
You know what? We're saying game of the day could be cast out. This could be a good game.
This could be a good game.
Yeah. Both teams just similar. I can see D&D just getting it. narrowly.
They only lost 3-0 to Foxdale last week, which really is not a bad result.
No, it's not.
UC beat Pulley 4-2, so it's going to be close.
Plenty of goals.
Yeah. 10-0.
Why not?
Yeah.
Loads of goals there. And finally, in Div 2, we do have Jims versus Pulley. Jims, who... it's not going to be honest, let's face it. They've played 9 games all season. Maz left to go to Old Boys. Adam's right. Anyway. Yeah, so Jims, they're welcome Pulley, who have won 1 game all season. Jims have won 2, but they have only played 9 games, who have actually got quite a strong chance of going up the way that's looking. Who did they beat this season? It's going to be Pulley, isn't it?
Probably.
Nope. If anyone knows who Pulley beat, that'd be really helpful. Just scrolling through this as it's going. Nope. Oh, they beat Govs.
Okay.
Never mind.
This is another one that'll be tight.
Yeah. I think a draw.
Yeah.
Think a draw?
Yeah. Maybe a one each. Something not very entertaining. Jack Jim's pitch is awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Has it got worse now they've turned it round?
Have they turned it round?
Have you seen it? Yeah. No, so I've not seen it since then. They've gone like... So, do they still use their clubhouse?
No.
Like,
renovated. So yeah. I was there like...
Basically demolished, yeah.
Few seasons ago. It was getting renovated. We had to use the cricket.
Do they still use that? Because that's like a long walk.
Yeah, it's a long walk.
That's definitely stay out at half-time.
And then in the summer, you just get changed by the pitch. And you know, you're doing your team like... Gyms are here, and then like Govs or someone's just right there. So you're just both doing your team talk because everyone can hear everything.
Yeah,
and
these are shit lads. These are shit lads. One goal, they'll lose their heads.
And then you hear in the background, do you hear that, lads? And it's just like, and then it's you know where the game's going from then. But
they're playing 4-4-2, lads.
Not that it matters.
It'll be tight this game, though, won't it?
Yeah.
But and I can imagine they'll both really want to win it. Like it's one of them games. It's like. They'll be looking at it both thinking they can win, and then it'd be tight. I'm gonna go 1-1. Like
Pulley 4-2.
Pulley win.
I'm gonna go for Pulley win. I think Pulley 2-0, 3-0.
I'm going for a Jim's win.
Oh.
I'm usually wrong though, so sorry Jim's.
Yeah. We'll take a quick stroll through the less interesting Canada Life Premier League. Where should we start this week, Dave? Should we start with? Should we just get out of the way now?
With the Western Derby.
Yep. So, how many do you reckon Peel are going to beat this round by?
Well, they got 8 versus Royal last week, didn't they? Yeah. So
9.
No.
Western Derby round are going to be up for this. I think.
Got a few missing though, Dave. To be fair, I'll let you know early so you can put your 9s, your 10s on. But no, we won't. I don't think we'll get stuff. It'll be a tight game, you know. Because I've always speaking to like the likes of a few of the Peel boys. Morale isn't an easy like. It's not. I know that they'll probably score. Maybe. we don't make it easy for these teams. Like, and I know Royals got beat 8-0 last week. They had a few missing, and I believe like Callum Sherry and the likes of them not
big,
playing.
Big loss.
Big loss. Him, Sam Baines, and stuff. But like, and we've obviously got a few missing. But I just think these games, Moran will always be up for this. Like, no matter what, you could turn up with 11 Tom Curfees, and I think we'd still fight.
Would they be sober Tom Curfees? Or?
A few of them. But no, it'll be. I don't know.
I think it's probably not going to be like double digits, but I do think Peel. They're in their stride at the moment, aren't they, Peel? They're at the top. I know they've got to basically win every game at the moment because they're breathing down their necks. So, I've got to go for a Peel win.
And the attack's just been boosted by Rhys Oates returning. Like, if it wasn't good enough with the Thomas Brown, Taylor, Lee Gayle.
But you got Mikey Callister.
Yeah, who scored 4. And he got FA Cup, ECAP FA Cup player of the round. Well done, Mikey.
So, Tom.
Yeah. After all that, I'm going to go...
2-1
Moran.
Wow.
And Air United will be congratulating us, saying, oh, thank you. Full time.
Well, the fact that I live in Peel and I have been playing with Peel Masters previously, I'm going to go with Peel. I reckon maybe 3-1.
To put it in context, Peel have got 42 points, but Moran have got 8.
Yeah. Peel win.
These are the games for Peel. Sorry, Tom, but these are the games that Peel have got to start picking up the likes of the goal difference and the points mainly against. Again, sorry, Tom. I think Peel will win this comfortably.
Yeah.
Dave, you going to offer Tom a lifeline?
The only lifeline is that he says that his combi game's off, so he'll be able to...
Well, I'm assuming the combi game's off, given the weather. Moran's pitch, I could probably do with a week off anyway. It's not... It's when I last looked at it, it was pretty underwater. So I think I'll be down reporting on this game, and the tweets will quickly stop if it becomes any more than two or three. If you wonder where I've gone to the pub.
Yeah, for anyone right. who missed the FA Cup recap that Tom did the other week, you will have been excused for realising that Air actually played in that game.
It was quite a biased report, and to be fair, I'm surprised that no one... But in a 5-4 against the bottom of the table Moran and the top of the table Air, you've got to give all the praise to Moran for getting even that close. Yeah. Mike Carlson scoring a hat-trick, so yeah, it was a bit biased report, but hey.
Yeah, so with the exception of Tom, I think we've got a clean sweep there for the league leaders. Sticking with the race at the top, Air United welcome Laxey.
Good game this.
Laxey up in third. They've had sort of a bit of a... They've sort of...
Put that slow
it's too
start.
Late to rescue their season, but they're
yeah.
sort of...
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but they put it behind them now a little bit. And they, although, obviously, they're going into this off the back of a defeat to St Mary's last week, so they'll be eager to put that right.
Two defeats on the bounce against St Mary's. They lost in the Cup to them the week before and in the league,
Was it 5-3 or 6-3 in the Cup?
Yeah,
wasn't
it?
This one was closer.
Two-one. But they really have like sorted out Laxey. Like, I remember there was a stage where they were really struggling this season.
Well, yeah, I mean, before that, they hammered Geordie 6-1, beat Corinthians 2-1. So they've had a couple of... Yeah. Bad results against Mary's, but they have had gone into them with decent form.
Just to remind everyone that the trophy hunt's off, though, isn't it? Apart from the hospital cup for Laxey.
Yeah,
now my cam left.
You have to rub your thighs while you say it. They're not going to win, no.
But no, I think it'll be a close game. This really tight.
Are you going to pick a side, or are you just going to?
Just because Air have to win. Like, this is why I think they will, because they just have to, don't they? For the, like, one loss, I know Peel and Air still have to play each other, but other than that, I can see that both of them winning more or less every single game until right till the end of the season.
Yeah, I think they meet next week, don't they?
So, is it?
I think they play at Peel week on Saturday, so that's a massive clash.
And we did a podcast with Gaylor and Taylor, and like they were saying, like, when they come to this place, it'll be different, because obviously the Air won earlier in the season.
Yeah.
So, like, it's...
It sounded like Peel had a bit of an off day that day as well, didn't they? So.
But Air have only lost one game this season, haven't they? And it's the Corinthians. And they'll be kicking themselves if they go and lose a game.
Well, yeah, they've
Peel.
Got the benefit of two games in hand over Peel, and they're 3 points behind. So it's if Air win, basically it's in Air's hands.
Yeah.
So what are you saying on that, Air?
Just really, really tight. I think it'll be 1-0 or 2-1 Air.
Yeah, agree. Close game, but Air win.
Yeah, I think so as well. Maybe 2-0.
I can see a lot of goals in this, you know.
A lot of goals?
Tight, but a lot of goals. That's like a 4-2, 4-3.
Laxey do have a leaky defence, to be fair.
Hey, Tom Gannon scored last week.
Didn't mean anything, though.
Don't say it, Sam. Don't say it. It was Valentine's Day this week as well. So.
Yeah, let's move on. St Mary's versus Braddon. The early kick-off this week. The 1:45. Braddon are just above relegation. They're 1 point clear of yourselves and Mills there, Tom. Mary's obviously doing quite well, up in fifth.
Got games in hand, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got they've got a lot of games in hand over like Laxey, for example. But Tom, what do you reckon?
I think Mary's will win. I don't think it'll be as comfortable as you think, and I think you've always said it this season, Braddon, like, fair play.
It's false position. They're such a better team.
But I don't think they were almost like the players aren't ready for Division One almost. And you know what? They could still stay up. It's tight down there. They could still stay up. But yeah, I think Braddon, they play nice football, but I think like Mary's to me would just be stronger than them, physical and at the bowl. I know Mary's lads were saying that they don't actually enjoy playing on the ball that much.
No, which I thought was
mad, because I thought home advantage for them, they'd absolutely love, like, every week playing on the ball. But anyway, no, I think it'd be St Mary's 3-4-0.
Do you guys have a favourite pitch, like, other than Blair Road? Is there any particular one that you like?
Any away day you're a big fan of?
It's a tough one. State the obvious, I've always liked playing at Corinthians. It's flat.
Yeah, it's good for
isn't it? It's flat. Royals are similar until you get to the summertime and you start like seeing all the flowers and stuff come up from the pitch, but I think Corinthians, it's just because it's so flat and it's a nice pitch to play on, isn't it?
Yeah, I think St John's for me. Can't really comment on most of the Premier team, to be honest, because, well, Michael United, but not played them much. But I think St John's, I don't mind Castletown's pitch, you know, at the beginning of the season. It's actually not too bad a pitch.
It's always a guaranteed game on, I think, in Castletown. They've got really good drainage down there, haven't they? So
I think you're right with St John's, though. That whole facility there they've got, it's great, like the Friday night project and everything about that is just unbelievable, I think.
That pitch also does cut really badly, and then they'll have a foul, it'll be sorted out for the weekend. So, they're like, you know, again, for volunteer sort of guys doing it, it's really good that they managed to get that many games on there.
Yeah.
No. But with that, Mary's Braddon.
Mary's all day.
Mary's.
Yeah, I think it'll be probably go the same way, to be honest. I'm going to avoid these two for a minute because I've got a lot to say about St John's and Corinthians. Russian versus Union Mills. Russian.
They beat Morel.
Basically, the epitome of a mid-table side this year, aren't they?
They beat us last week 3-1. I think, although they're not the Russian of old, they're still, they can still get a result and they're still good.
In fact, Russian have played 15 games. They've won 5, drawn 5, lost 5, and have a goal difference of 5.
I was looking at that.
So, they are very consistent.
Consistently inconsistent.
Consistently inconsistent.
Yeah.
So, Dave, what are they going to do? What's it going to be this week?
Well, it sounds like Union Mills put up a decent fight last week against St John's, so they might take a bit of confidence from that, although obviously that was a huge setback for them. I think Russian... I think they'll probably just about have the edge. Home advantage, I think, in this one. So I'm going to go with, a Spaniards win.
Yeah, probably, I reckon so. Yeah.
From a Moran perspective, I really could do with a Russian win. So, yeah.
Yeah. Pains me to say it, but a Russian win.
Yeah, I'd go with them as well.
Still a lot of love for Mills.
Yeah.
I know you didn't say Gary Moore in your favourite pitches. Is that just purely from the wind or?
Oh. I like Mills, like the pitch, but it's just, the weather is just ridiculous. I mean, it's not much better down at Michael's, to be honest. You know, sometimes it's that windy, like, you can sort of just feel the grains of sand from the beach coming up and hitting you in the face. So.
Well, this is the debate we've been having recently, isn't it?
We're closer to the sea. We're definitely closer to the sea, 100%.
I don't know how he manages that, because when he's playing football, he never had his head up, so.
You'd have a dig at me. Number 7 at fullback.
So, quick look at St John's versus Ramsden. Last time I saw St John's, it was the game of Corinthians, which was wow.
Went to penalties, and you weren't happy, were you?
It was 2 hours of the worst football I've ever seen. neither of them could be arsed of it, and it was sort of like, I don't know what it was.
You watched Roy Hodgson's Liverpool. That says a lot. Jesus.
Considering the talent on the pitch there, you know, you had like decent players, and both teams just couldn't do anything. And it was even one of them where it's like it was going to extra time and you got like people who were just leaving, people who were watching the game left.
I've never seen that, like extra time and people going, I've had
and
enough.
It was just like, you know, it was truly awful.
Was Luke Murray back playing against his former club?
Yeah, he played for St John's. Yeah,
did he have a good game?
He scored last week, did he not?
Yeah.
Team of the week.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they're just, anyway, yeah, it was just not a great game on any level. And it's a shame because they're both two teams that I quite like, but they're just awful game. Anyway, that's that done. St John's versus Ramsey this week.
I think this will be tight, you know.
I think
so, but I think it will be Ramsey who win it in the end, but it'll be tight.
Well, we've talked about Ramsey's away form, haven't we? It's not always the best. I still think they'll have a bit too much. I mean, they should on paper win this game.
Yeah, I think they'll probably right there, Dave. What do you reckon, lads?
I've always liked Ramsey. I always think it's really good. Really good setup down at Ramsey, and I think the quality they've got, obviously Dylan Pickles and whatnot, is, I think, and Matthew midfield is just, they've just got a good overall coverage on the pitch, and I think they'll fly by St John's.
Do you reckon?
I don't know. You know, St John's at home.
We obviously train on a Tuesday, and St John's trained before us, and sometimes you turn up, they've got like 7, 8, 9 players there, and it's like they're just doing a shooting drill or something like that. Which obviously, you know, if that's what you want to do, do it. But it just surprises me because St John's was obviously, you know, like the likes of Dean Leeson, that you'd think. Be good quality training sessions and put a lot into it, but
whereas we rock up with like 35 sitting there waiting on them coming up.
But like, I think St John's getting Luke Murray, I was a bit shocked by that. Like, that is, it's just added to their squad, hasn't it? I think they're already decent. Ian McGowan as manager, I think him and Browner, I think like they already had a good squad, the two of them, and then now add Luke Murray to it.
I feel like it's a good sign.
And now all of a sudden, anyone who plays him, I always think they could do something. At least they might get a goal. So
what he's the one consistent at training as well, and he's the one you always see there every week when we're waiting. Is Luke Murray? Yeah. He's always there.
Always there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you've got the FCL Man team news there in front of you. Is Dean Lease involved?
No, he's not.
So that's a massive plus.
Yeah, however, Charlie Higgins is.
Is it? Well,
I'm going to go for draw now then.
He didn't play against us, Charlie, and honestly, I wasn't that impressed with Ramsey. And if they try and play the way they played against us against St John's, I think St John's will just, they'll be able to do the same, but obviously having Luke there, I think...
In all fairness, Ramsey came to us with what seemed like no game plan.
Yeah.
The game plan of Hoofball, but like just not the Ramsey that I played against last season. Because Ramsey we played against was like, it was just constant football on the floor, whereas it's like they rocked up just... We'll try and just see them past.
But it is interesting when these clubs that are in the high end of the top flight come down and play in a cup against the lower down teams. Do you think there's an element of, oh, we've just breezed past this?
Probably. But see, the thing is, the last 3 years we've had Ramsey, who are up there, Peel and Ayr in the cups.
last three
teams. So they've been the teams that have been right in the top four. Whereas we just want to play somebody in that bottom half just to see the level difference.
We had Geordies in, and it was the FA Cup and then the Junior Cup, and the FA only sent one linesman. And you just turn it up and you see that and you're like,
yeah.
Cheers. So we all...
I'm going for a draw now.
You're going for a draw?
Yeah, I changed my mind.
It'll be close, I think. It could go either way.
I'm going to go with Ramsey.
Just a quick thing before we move on from this, actually. Yes or no, really. St John's this year haven't had many Friday night games because teams just don't seem to be in for that. Are you in support of that, playing on the Friday night?
Yeah, I quite liked when they were in Div 2. I quite liked the Friday night game, to be honest. Nah.
In fairness, I don't think it's just other clubs saying no. I think sometimes St John's, it's an unavailability for them. It's up to them, isn't it?
I think the only reason I liked it, though, is because I work every second weekend, so it's quite tough for me to get off work to play every game, and especially this season, so I quite liked the Friday night because I knew I could get it no matter what.
And you've got your whole weekend.
Not that I'd do anything
else other than go to the Crosby or go and watch another Manx football game. But it's just still nice to have a Saturday where you're not like the half two. I think it just takes up your whole entire Saturday, isn't it? But I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It always
rains really bad, like on a Friday night or something. Yeah. So usually, if you play Friday night at St John's, you always want to play foot. You've got that game then.
Played
it because it's on a Friday night before the rain comes in, and then every Saturday game is like called off. So
it's a nice pitch to play there in the rain as well.
Yeah,
it is rain. It just seems like a nice pitch to play in the rain.
It's Champions League. It's like away in like Moscow or something.
It's look to find your mum in the stands.
Just, hi! How are you?
Celebrate in front of his camera and you score.
Doesn't happen though.
Reese Westwell did it twice to Hattie's cameras, ran up, knee slid. I can actually show you it. It's brilliant. Scores against, I think it might be Mills. At Moran. Don't know where it was last season.
Barry English did it at Moran as well.
Barry English did it at Moran.
He just turned around and he was like, where is he? And he ran.
We're going to get one or two of them in here now. The final game of the week in the men's 40 is Corinthians versus St George's. Previous years this would have been the title game. This year Corinthians are out of it. Geordies are sort of probably just going to do enough to keep themselves away from that relegation zone. They seem to pick up results when they need to. Where do you reckon it's going to go?
Corinthians 2-3 now.
Yeah, you won't be far off there.
Because they've still got good, like, young players,
yeah,
haven't they?
Yeah.
Like, really good young players.
They seem to have a new young player scoring for their combi every week.
Yeah.
Like, they tweet yeah. about it. It's like, welcome yeah. to the, like, welcome to senior football. And he's
got.
Do
you know that thing, like, Southampton, you should just have constant left backs. Green yeah. just every week, they just find another 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And you go, lad.
Yeah.
Where they've got a from? Massive youth set up, though. It's yeah. just like, this is the benefits of it. You just get constant young lads all yeah. the time.
I guess if you've got the facilities and where you can train and stuff, it's you're laughing, aren't you?
Yeah, and they've got Ben, who's just like, really keen to push that sort of thing, which
mm. and it'll help the club for the future for you.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
Dave.
Yeah, I'll have to go on the side of Corinthians on this. I know the likes of Sean Quay's been away recently. I don't know whether he's back in time for this or not, but if he's not, then that's a big loss for Geordies. So yeah, I think a home win.
Yeah, all home win. Yeah. I'm gonna sit on the Andy Dalrymple Memorial fence and go for a draw. right, we'll have to go quickly through a few of these now. We'll start off with the Floodlit Cup. Yeah. This was held last weekend.
A Saturday night game at the yeah. Bowl. Hattie was down covering it. His report is in the Examiner now, but basically, congratulations to Corinthians. They won it for a record 11th time with a 3-1 win.
Were they favourites going into it?
I think it was very sort of 50-50. Because Peel had won, they both beat each other this season.
Yeah, so and, so I think Peel are leading the way in the league table, but because of the head-to-head, it doesn't go down to goal difference in the Women's League.
Okay.
So Peel had the edge on like head-to-heads, but Corinthians still had sort of a bit more about them. I mean, they won the treble last year, Corinthians, so they obviously sort of had a bit of know-how with it.
Why doesn't it go to goal difference?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Hattie's the man to answer that one.
Question for Hattie.
Lisa Castain scored for Peel, but Millie Dawson got two for Corinthians, and Kira Morgan got the other. So for a good win for Corinthians there. Well done to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we just have to quick look ahead to this week coming up. We've got on Sunday the Canterlife Women's League. Blue, Onken, Corinthians, Castan, and Peel versus Douglas Rose. We've got the Masters League on Sunday, which is Onken versus Laxey and Coves versus also Douglas Royal. The other thing we've got this weekend, of course, is we've got about 800 Bury fans descending on the island as the Shakers come to the Bowl. Tom, I know you're excited about this.
Yeah, they've rightly been separated, haven't they? Because I can imagine it'd be absolute chaos at this game. It'll be West Brom Wolves, for example, won't it? It'll be just absolute set of fans hating each other.
I reckon like Millwall West Ham in the 90s.
I feel like the Bowl gets like that on a Saturday.
We might go watch that then.
I wasn't around in the 90s, but please let me know what it was like.
Have you ever seen Rise of a Foot Soldier?
No.
Watch it.
Never.
No.
Green Street.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Green Street a little bit,
That's what it'd be like, Them descending on the train station, like the sea terminal porn. Are they getting the boat?
I imagine. They'll get here, have
they? They'll be
flooding from everywhere, won't they?
The big news of that is Jacob Crook is back in after injury. Aside from that, it's basically the same team played last time at home, so it'd be quite an interesting one, that, because obviously last time they went away at Gig Lane, Ravens lost 1-0.
You went to that one, didn't you?
I did, yeah. But they were in a bit of an iffy form at the time. Now they've unbeaten in four, won the last three, but also Bury are like their second in the league going for the title, so it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. In fact, they might be top now, actually, because they won.
There's a thing, actually, the man are coming off a good win, aren't they?
Yeah, that was a proper hard fought one last week.
That was a good win there.
Yeah. Again, it's be interesting to see where that ends up. But Dave, you're going to do Combi Corner for us now, but not now. So we'll get that in here somewhere.
It's advantage Ramsey in the race for the Canada Life Combination 1 title after last weekend's results. The Ballyclone outfit won the Northern Derby with Ayr United 3-2 to open up a 3-point gap at the top after nearest challenger St Mary's suffered a 3-1 defeat at home to Laxey. 4 points further back are Russian United, who got the better of Moran. Sorry, Tom. That was at Croydon 4-0. The Spaniards have got 4 games in hand over St Mary's. They've also got 1 in hand over Ramsey, so they're still in the hunt there. To make matters worse for Tom, his Andy Curfew was the hero for Douglas Royal. They beat Peel 4-2, and then Corinthians were 4-0 winners over Braddon, and the game between St John's and Union Mills was postponed. Only 3 games went ahead of DPS Limited Combination 2 last weekend after Foxdale v D&D and Jim's versus Old Boys were both postponed. With leaders Old Boys not in action, Onken closed the gap at the top to three points with a game in hand thanks to a 4-1 win at Michael United. And there was a good battle at Nobles Park between Governors Athletic and Maloo,
with a home side winning by the odd goal in seven thanks to a four-goal haul from Talani Okanola. I hope I pronounced that right. And the other game in Combi 2 was a Southern derby at the Station Fields where Castletown edged past rivals Colby 2-1.
I'm surprised you didn't mention the Jaeger train.
Well, if you want to know about the Jaeger train, you're on Twitter.
Okay.
Go on Jeff40IOM and Manx40Pod Twitter and you'll see about the Jaeger train. Hopefully by the time this goes out, because we're still waiting to hear back from the brewery about that one. yeah, Dave, let's have some weather.
Dave reads the weather!
The rest of today, Friday, should stay dry with some bright or sunny intervals. Saturday will be generally dry, but with mist or fog with patches at first. And there'll be rain arriving in the afternoon, which may turn heavy at times before clearing overnight. So watch this space.
That, aside from us not having biscuits due to industrial action, any other business?
No, I want to touch on the biscuits though.
Okay, go on.
Well, the way it's been settled in our office, sales the editorial, it's been a biscuit debacle, hasn't there? I'd describe it as. It's been a bit of a chaotic.
Biscuit wars.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's like, who's taking what biscuit, where did the Jammy Dodgers go, all that chaos. But the way it's been resolved is there's no biscuits at all in the building. Mm. And I just think that's irrational. Mm. That's how I see it. Mm. And then our guests suffer. Like, Michael have made their way here. It's a long way from Ballera Road.
It's the only reason the guests come is for the biscuits.
Exactly. They don't come for the content.
They don't come for the banter, no.
No, exactly. So, yeah, I just think we need to figure out, maybe we need to sit down with sales and have a nice discussion.
I like how you put this out on a public platform now.
Yes, I just feel like people should know.
Put it out there, yeah. To be honest, if it was Jammy Dodgers, I wouldn't have taken one.
See, it's not even the good Jammy Dodgers, it's not even like a real one.
It's like the McVitie's ones.
Yeah. It's not with tea anyway, they don't belong with tea.
No, I don't think they're good dippers, to be fair.
Yeah, custard creams are the best.
No.
Custard cream is the best.
Yeah.
But you can definitely dip a Jammy Dodger.
But we mentioned shortbread earlier, I just don't think you can top all butter shortbread.
It's too much.
You're talking on your ass.
Like, you can have, I could smash a packet of custard creams. I couldn't smash a packet of shortbread.
Yeah, I could smash a packet.
Easily. A big one, like the double pack.
The double pack. Well, I reckon I'd leave a couple for later.
Why did you say that earlier? Bugger the footy. This would be much more entertaining.
but I'm serious though. White chocolate digestives, I think, lead. White chocolate digestives at the minute.
White chocolate digestives, that's the thing.
They're incredible. Try them, honestly.
You brought them in on the pod, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Got them for Cowan. Yeah.
Well, he eats them every week now, doesn't he? tell them what happened to him. The note.
I don't want to talk about it. All I know is the white digestives get eaten, and I think we know who's eating them in my household. I'm not very happy about it because they're a big part of my life. I come home and I want
that just sums up Tom Kirby.
Yeah.
White chocolate digestives are the big part of your life.
Yeah, they are, because you know when you're at training, I've been on a Tuesday where you're training, 5-10 minutes to go at training, you're looking at your watch, seeing Dave Brew about to blow his whistle, and you're thinking, what am I going to do when I get home? Like, your mind gets a bit distracted, and I'm like, I want to sit down. Put suits on and eat some white chocolate digestives.
Suits. You watch that. It's good.
I've almost finished it, to be fair.
I'm going to say something debatable though.
Come on.
A cup of tea, right? And at least 3 or 4 rich teas stacked on top of each other. Oof. And dunk it in.
I'll have to try it.
Knock it till you try it, because you obviously think rich tea's boring. But if you stack them on top of each other.
You can only introduce them to the concept of liquid before they fall apart.
It's all on technique, isn't it? You've got to dip them.
You're not doing it right.
You're a rational person. It's shortbread, isn't it?
Shortbread. But I can't comment on the dipping into tea because I don't drink tea or coffee. So.
Do you drink anything, hot drinks?
Not really. I'll drink like a hot chocolate or something like Costa or whatever, but no, I don't.
How old are you?
Nearly 39. I've just never liked tea or coffee. Just never liked it.
Mm. I feel like coffee, they always say it's something you'll like when everyone. I remember it being like, oh, that's disgusting. It's something you like when you're older. I still have to have like a mocha, like a chocolate in it. I'm still like.
Have you not just had coffee?
Was that really? Is tea. This is tea.
How much milk?
I just don't put an awful lot in. You're milky tea.
I'm a coffee. I work in a coffee shop, so I'm a coffee person.
I think I refuse to try it again because then I know if I liked it, I'd need to constantly make the wife cups of tea. So I just refuse to
like that
try
thinking.
It.
I like it.
And then I don't have to.
Yeah.
Right, well, on that bombshell, it is time to end. Yeah.
Digressed even more than usual.
Even further than usual.
Yeah, it's great.
Left the best to last. I think that's what people want to see.
Yeah. For everyone who likes hot chocolate, remembers Rey Mysterio winning the Royal Rumble. And for Michael against Cusstown this weekend, cheers guys for coming in. And yeah, Dave,
good luck, gents.
Let's thank leave you. Them with a
ta-ta for now.